Thank you for the rain we have received in the past few days. And it just reminds us, Lord, of that you're the source of all the blessings that we have. And just like the rain pours over our land, we ask you that you continue pouring your blessings over our lives and each of the families represented here this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you keep any word that doesn't come from you to come out of my mouth, but at the same time to not let me hold back anything that does come from you, Lord, so that your people will be edified. In Jesus' name we ask you all this. Amen. You may be seated. There's a story about this young couple. They were recently married, and just like every family starts to develop their own traditions and habits, they had said, well, you know, we're going to, since we both work, we're going to have dinner together every night, wash the dishes, and go out for a walk around the neighborhood for exercise, and so that we can spend time together and talk. And so one night they did that. They had dinner together. They washed the dishes, you know, put on their tennis shoes and went out for a walk in the neighborhood. And as they were passing by the church, they noticed that there was a wall that was falling, that was tipping over. And the devil was there holding the wall. And the devil's sweating and he's tired and he's trying to hold the wall from keeping it from falling. And the husband wanted to go over there and find out what was going on. And she says, no, don't go over there because that's the devil. And we're Christian. We don't talk to him. So they continued walking. And as they came back around, you know, from their walk, they saw that he was still there. And he was even using his tail to hold the wall and trying to keep it from falling. And so the husband couldn't help it and went over there and said, hey, devil, why are you holding up this wall that's falling? And he says, well, you know, this wall belongs to the church from the parking lot. And if it falls, they're going to blame me just like they do everything else. And even though it's just an illustration, it's just a joke, in reality, as Christians, many times we do blame everything on the devil or someone else for everything that goes on in our lives. But this morning, as we spend time in this Psalm 13, I want to talk to you about what about when, because most certainly, as Christians, we do have enemies. We have the world, we have the devil, and we have the flesh. And we struggle with these things. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is, what about when your situation, when your struggle, when your problem is with God? What about when he's the one that's, you know, working in your life? What about when the things that are going on in your life are coming directly from him? How do we deal with those things? Because it's easy when something's going on in our life and we say, well, I'm under the attack of the enemy, or it was someone else's fault, you know, and we throw things around. But what about when it is God that's dealing directly with us? How do we deal with these things? And as we spend time in Psalm 13, Psalm 13 forms part of a group of psalms that are called the Psalms of Lament or Anguish. And in these psalms, in this group, you find Psalm 7, Psalm 10, in this case, 13, 17, 22, 31, 35, and 38. And these psalms have been put in this category of Psalms of Lament because they contain certain elements. And these elements, you won't find them all in this order, but I'm just going to give it to you. The elements that they have in common, it's a cry out or a lament to God of what the person is going through. There's an affliction, obviously, that causes out that cry out. There's a petition for deliverance to the point where, you know, where do I get my answers from? Who do I go to? And you cry out to God, a petition of deliverance. There's a confession of trust in God, even though you're going through something that's a burden, that's hard. There's to worship, and there's a reason for that worship. So we're gonna see that how the author starts off with that affliction and how throughout the psalm it changes to that worship. And that's the point that we want to get to. And so how do we react in difficult times? Where do we hear it in the psalmist? I know it's the written word and we don't have the audio, but what do we hear when we start reading this psalm? What does he communicate to us? And if you notice in the first two verses, four times, he's asking that question, how long, how long, how long, how long? And that tells us that, if you can click the next slide. Here are the three causes of the affliction. The first one, it can be caused by God himself. And we hardly ever stop to think about that. We always think, oh, it's either the devil, or the world, it's my flesh that I'm struggling, it's you know, the wife, the kids. We blame the supervisor, we blame everyone, but we never stop to think, is this coming from God? Is he trying to teach me something? Is he trying to, you know, make me stronger, grow in faith, whatnot? And so it can be caused by God. So the first verse says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And I don't know about you, but there's moments in our lives when we feel like we're praying, we're going to church, we're doing everything that we've been taught or that we know, and we wonder, is he listening to me? Is he hiding himself from me? And that's what the psalmist is saying. You know, are you hiding your face from me? I can't see you. I can't hear you. There's no answer. And at any moment, feel free to add your name to the list. So far, it's me, David, and I'm going to show you someone else. Sarah raised her hand, so keep adding your name to the list. I want you to quickly go with me to Job chapter 13, verse 24. And if you're familiar with the story of Job, you know all the stuff that he went through. And when we get to chapter 13, verse 24, he's asking the same question. He says, why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? You know, I thought we were good. I thought we had a relationship, but here I'm feeling alone. Here I'm feeling abandoned. Here I'm feeling like you're not answering me. And so it's me, David, Sarah, and Job that at one point in our lives have felt this way. And so the affliction can be caused by God. When our girls were younger, and we would go to either, you know, Walmart or Target and one of these stores, and, you know, they were at that stage where they want to wander off by themselves. And I would tell them, you know, stay right here where I can see you. And they would say, see, puppy, right? But 2 minutes later, they see the toys, they see other stuff, and they wander off. And I would tell my wife, let's hide from them, you know? And we would go behind the clothes racks and hide from them, and we would be watching them. And at the beginning, they would be, you know, looking at the toys, but then they would notice, oh, mom and dad are not around anymore, and you start seeing their faces change, and you start seeing I don't know how to say this word in English, pucheros, you know, when you start making the lips start shaking, right, like they want to cry, and you will see the affliction in them caused by us with the purpose that they will learn you don't wander off from your parents. And so there's afflictions that come so that we learn not to wander off from our Heavenly Father. And so there's things that happen in our lives that at the moment we don't understand. We don't know why. And when we think, well, why are you hiding your face from me? You know, I'm sure God is like, I'm not hiding from you. You're the one who wandered off. And we see that from the beginning. We see that from Adam and Eve. You know, didn't the all-knowing God know where they were? But he still asked them, where were you? Where were you? You know? Where were you means in our relationship. So sometimes we're the ones who wander off, and the affliction is caused so that we may come back to him. The affliction can also be caused by ourselves, because when we're in this situation, here we are blaming everyone else, and the last thing we do is check ourselves, check our heart. And we start dwelling in the same problem that we're going through, whether it's, you know, health, financial, legal problems, family problems, we start adding to it on our own. Verse 2 says, how long should I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? And what happens is when you're going through an affliction, when you're going through a hard situation, you go to bed thinking about that problem. You only get a little bit of sleep. And as soon as you wake up, you start thinking again on how you're going to solve it. Knowing that it's been a month, it's been 2 months, and if you haven't come up with the answer, or if you had the answer, why didn't you avoid going into that situation to begin with? You know, and it only comes from God. The answer can only come from him. And after we already talked to the comadre and all the co-workers, and we already asked him, what should I do about this? Or what do you think, like, you know, and we look around and we search on Google and we do everything else, the only answer can come from God, coming back to the Word. And so David is asking, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? And we're thinking constantly, how can I solve this? How, you know, what's the answer? And we're always looking at, you know, should I do A? Should I do B? And like we were, you know, we were at a conference yesterday, and he was saying, what about when God has, you know, C and D answer that we didn't even think about? And so we take counsel and we add to the problem ourselves. So the affliction can be caused by God, can be caused by ourselves, and most definitely can be caused by the enemy. The second part of verse 2, it says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And this is something that is hard for us too, as Christians, because we try to go to our jobs, to our, you know, neighborhood, school, whatever your circle is, and we tell people, you know, that we're Christian, and oh, yesterday I was at church and it was a great service, you should have came with me, blah blah blah. But when we're going through an affliction and people see us walking in like this, you know, and guess what, they're laughing, they're saying, oh well, I thought he was a Christian, you know, I had a great weekend, I partied all weekend, I had fun, you know, I watched the game and my team won and blah blah blah. You know, and you hear them laughing and you hear them enjoying themselves. You know, and I remember, a few years back, maybe 8 years ago, something like that, I was going through some health issues, and the neighbor that we had across the street, he would just party, I don't know, not the whole weekend, like every day. And he's blasting his radio and he's just laughing out loud. And here I am dragging my feet, feeling, you know, sick, feeling bad. And I'm like, what's going on here? This doesn't add up, you know? I have Christ, I have you. And why does his life seem, you know, more fun than mine? And we don't understand. And we're going through the affliction, either caused by God, by ourselves, by the enemy. Now, the way David is talking to God or asking him, how long, O Lord, how long, four times, if I ask the question, can we talk to God this way? You know, can we ask him, right? Because we've been taught, oh, you don't question the potter, you know. But he's asking him these questions, but doesn't he know already how we feel? You know, doesn't he already know how we feel? Doesn't he already know? And this is the point where he's taking us to where he wants us to be. And so the affliction and another of the elements that I had told you these psalms contain is a petition. And if you can give me the next slide. And the petition has to be for a divine answer. It has to be for a divine answer. I don't have all the answers. And don't tell Pastor Chavez I said this, but I'm sure he doesn't have all the answers. There's no human being that has all the answers. And so when we're going through something, we need to ask for a divine answer. Verse 3. Now he says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes. Give me a little glimpse of what it is that you're doing in my life, because I don't understand. I don't see it. I'm doing everything that I've been taught. I'm doing everything that I can possibly think of. But, you know, it's time for you to consider my situation and you give me the answer. You know, whether it's peace in your heart, whether it's just the strength to deal with whatever it is that you're going through. But it's important that we ask for a divine answer. And those of you who have the privilege and the blessing of being married, there are needs and there are situations in your life, in your heart, that your spouse can't fulfill. Only Christ can. You know, I can tell my wife, you know what, I'm going through this because my dad's getting older. He's, you know, his health is declining. We need, you know, he needed a place to stay and all that stuff. And she understands me because I'm her husband, but she doesn't have the answer for that. She, you know, I need a divine answer. I need to come to the only one that can deal with the situation that we're going through. And we're all human. We're limited. We can only help you so much. But at the end of the day, it is only God that's working in your life that can help you whether it's health reasons, financial reasons, or whatever the affliction that you're going through. So we ask for a divine answer. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes. And the petition all also has to be for us to have control over our emotions. And Galatians, part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, you know, because it catches my attention that he says, enlighten my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. I don't know if you've ever been through a situation where you feel like, if I don't solve this, if I don't get through this, I'm going to die. You know, you feel like you're dying. And being from a Hispanic background, I don't know how many of you have ever played this game called Loteria, right? And it has all these cards, there's a ladder, a boot, all these little characters. And there was one called El Mundo, the world. And it was this man that had a globe, a world, on his shoulders. And sometimes we feel that way, like the world is on our shoulders. And we can't get rid of that weight, you know? And so we come to God, we ask for a divine answer, and to have control all over our emotions. Because we feel like, I'm never going to get out of this situation, you know? And we're expecting the results from the doctor, and I'm never going to heal from this. Or I'm never going to get out of this financial situation, or whatever it is that you're going through. You know, we need to have control over our emotions, because the way I feel does not determine my relationship with God. There's days that I'm going to feel sad. There's days that I'm going to feel happy. But that doesn't determine my relationship with God. He promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me, regardless of how I feel. Regardless of how I feel. Today is Sunday. I feel happy. I'm with my, you know, brothers and sisters. We're worshiping. And tomorrow, it's Monday. You got to show up to work. You're going to deal with that same supervisor. You're going to deal with that same problem. You know, you're going to deal with the layoffs, whatever it is. But you know what? He's still there. And so we need to ask him, give me control over my emotions, because that's not what determines my relationship with you. It is, we were singing, it is your presence, oh Lord, you know, that gives me that peace. And so a petition to avoid the enemy's victory. Verse 4, it says, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. And I have a little bit of bad news for you. As believers, like I mentioned at the beginning, we have enemies. We have the devil, we have the world, and we have the flesh. But believe me, there is people that want to see you down, even in your own family. You know, oh, he's a Christian now? Yeah, wait a couple of months. Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be like us again. They're just waiting for that moment when you fall, you know, or when you're going through a hard situation. Well, they ask you, well, where's your God now? You know, where is he? And so David is saying, you know, I don't want to go through this. I don't want my enemy to say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. And David, one thing you need to know about me is David is my favorite character in the Old Testament and the Bible. I love 1st and 2nd Samuel and just reading through the Psalms that he wrote. And he was very blessed, you know, just being called a man after God's own heart. But at the same time, he had a lot of enemies, you know, starting with Saul feeling, you know, that jealousy and, you know, all his enemies, the Philistines and all the stuff that he went through. And so we're definitely going to go through these things, but we want to avoid the enemy's victory. So we need to have confidence to tell God how we feel, even the negative feelings. So I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4. Verses 14 through 16. And these verses are, you know, something worth highlighting or making yourself a little note, or, you know, it's something that you can always go to when you're going through an affliction, when you're going through a hard situation. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a place that we can go to in the time of need. There's someone that understands you perfectly, what you're going through. And we can always come to him, and we can come with confidence, it says, and we can confess exactly how we feel and start receiving, you know, or whatever he's working in our lives. And so we go from the affliction to the petition, and now we move to another element, which is the trust that we find in verses 5 and 6. The trust in his mercy. Verse 5 says, even though I have this affliction, even though I don't have the answers, because at the beginning he's asking, how long will this situation last? Then he moves on to the petition. I don't have the answers. I can't find the answers. It is only from you that I can get what I need. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And so the trust comes. And when you're going through an affliction, through a hard situation, even though doubts come, even though, you know, we start feeling that way, like, are you hiding from me, Lord? Why not? Deep in your heart, you know he's still there. Deep in your heart, you know you will come out of it, because that's his promise. Not my promise, but that's what the word says. And he always comes in at the right moment. So the psalmist is saying, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. And the Spanish version says, in tu misericordia, in your mercy. You know, we can't demand from him, because we don't deserve an answer. We don't deserve the solution. But in his loving kindness, he will still get you out of that situation or give you the strength to go through it for however long it lasts. Because this is not our home. So the situation that you're going through, it might last the rest of your life here on earth, but one day it'll finish. One day it'll end. I want to take you to Psalm 119, verse 75. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter, not just in Psalms, but in the whole Bible. Psalm 119, verse 75. So one day I'm doing my reading, right, in the morning, and I'm reading through verse, I'm going to read from 74 on, but the focus is on 75, and I'm reading, and I'm like, may those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. O, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, to your servant. And I kept on reading, and as I got to maybe verse 78, I said, wait a minute, did I just read that? And I went back to 75, and I was reading my Spanish version. And it said, yo sé que tus juicios son justos, pero en tu fidelidad me has afligido. So then I got my English version, and I went, and it said, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And I read it about six times, because this is saying, you're allowing this. You're allowing this affliction, you know, but it is in your faithfulness that you're allowing it. And it seems, you know, it's kind of hard to grasp at the beginning. And I remember one time, my wife and I, we met at Beverly Hospital. We both used to work there. I still work there now. She works at another hospital now. But she was working, I think, like the night shift or something. And one of our daughters got really sick. She had a high fever. And so I called her, and she says, well, I'll be out in about an hour, so why don't you bring her down to emergency, and I'll meet you there as soon as I finish my shift. So we went over there, and, you know, we knew a lot of the staff there. And the doctor tells me, well, you know, we're going to apply a suppository to break down the fever. But the problem is that the only nurse I have available is a male nurse. So I need you to stay in the room and help him, to, you know, just to hold her down. And so we did that. And I understood that that needed to be done. She didn't. You know, a little girl crying, sick, she didn't. And it's uncomfortable. It could even be embarrassing. It's a situation that nobody wants to be in. But I knew that it needed to be done. And so she's there fighting and crying and looking at me like saying, not only are you allowing this, but you're helping them, you know? And I have to tell you, I've been guilty or of looking up at my Heavenly Father and saying, not only are you allowing this, but you're the one causing this. But because we don't understand at the moment. And when the fever started going down, when she started feeling better, you know, it's when we understand, oh, you allowed this, Lord, because you wanted to produce this in me. You know, because you had something better for me. It is because of your loving kindness that you allowed this to happen. And so at the moment, we don't understand. But as the affliction goes away, as we just trust in his loving kindness, and we trust that you will rejoice again. Verse 5, he's going through the affliction still, but he's speaking about the future. He says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and what you're going to bring, in your deliverance of what I'm going through. And that takes me back to when the people of Israel and Moses, they were in front of the Red Sea, and, you know, they're saying, why'd you bring us out here so we can die? You know, why did you allow all this? And Moses says, you know, stay still, and let's just see the salvation that the Lord will provide. And so there are moments that your doctor is not going to provide the right medicine. You know, even pastors or your leaders will not provide the right answer. Just stay still and allow God to work in your life and trust that you will rejoice again in the salvation that he will bring. And lastly, it says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And you trust that you will be delivered. And the contrast that I want you to, you know, if you're going to remember anything about this morning's message, is just look at the contrast of where he was at in verse 1 and 2. He's afflicted. You know, there's an urgency. How long, O Lord? How long? And by the time we get to verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And that's many times our prayer. You know, we get on our knees and we're crying and there's no words coming out, but by the time we get up from where we're praying, we have that peace. We're, you know, the problem's still there, but we already know that it's in his hands and that he will deal with us bountifully. He will give you more than what you need, or he will solve it in a way that you didn't even think of. You know, so whatever the situation that you're going through this morning is, come to him. I know there's situations that are not a week long, not a month, but years. And there's illnesses that last a lifelong time, you know. But when we get to heaven, there'll be no more of that. He will deliver us, whether it's here or in the next life. And so the contrast between verses 1 and verses 5 and 6 is the difference that bringing our afflictions and troubles to the one who is not only able, but willing to deliver us and restore his joy in our lives. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for taking care of every detail in our lives, Lord. And we know that even though we don't understand the whole picture, that you're still in control, that you're sovereign, Lord. And I ask you, Father, that as we go on about our business and go and spend time with our families, that we may keep in mind to glorify your name. And Father, just bless us and help us throughout the week as we continue on this journey that you have traced out for us. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen.